Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This feels normal.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. This just feels right. We've been opening the mailbag all week. Normally, we just reserve that for Friday, but this week we decided let's just open her up every single day. And this is the first day where it feels right because we are just creatures of habit, aren't we? This is why you sit in that same place every Sunday morning at your church. Admit it, you do it. And when somebody sits in your pew or padded chair, whatever you have there, wow. I've heard several people say this. They were visiting a church. They just went in and sat down. And then before the service started, the person who usually sits there arrives and just stands and glares.
I guess these are your seats. We'll just leave right now.
We are creatures of habit, and our habit is now regular. It's Friday, and we hope that you will send stuff. Anything wretched to idea@wretched.org, or you can text whatever you want. I mean, as long as your thumbs have the strength to 877-282-2337.
Speaking of church, this is from Mary. Todd, I hear people saying at church how important it is to be authentic. And I just can't help but think that's narcissistic. I especially thought so when after they receive correction of any kind, major or minor, they are deeply offended, respond with slander against the person correcting them, and completely do a 180 in their character. And now they say they're praying for unity, as if anyone was questioning them causes disunity.
So let's just focus on the one aspect of a rather complex email, and that would be the authentic movement. We're just going to be authentic Christians. Well, the reality is we should. That tends to be the problem with trends. There's a little bit of truth inside of them. We should be transparent appropriately with others that are believers because we're to carry one another's burdens. We're to walk with one another. We're to be paracletes for one another. So there should be that level of authenticity. The problem is it's kind of become a movement. And anytime I think a good thing becomes a movement, it tends to turn it into a bad thing. And in this instance, I think a phony thing. Okay, Jimmy. Henceforth, you are going to be authentic because we're going to be authentic broadcasters. So be authentic.
As opposed to what? No,
hey,
what was that?
Was that authentic? Was that genuine? Are you sharing the truth? Okay, it just becomes forced. So I see the truth in it. I reject the organization of it, but I would instead suggest it should simply be something that is a byproduct. Authenticity will come based on what is coming out of that pulpit. Based on what is happening in Sunday schools, what people are consuming at church, all of these things that we desire the church to be will become if the preaching of the word cultivates it. If you don't have that coming out of the pulpit, you can create all the programs in the world. And then you're going to, not only are you going to have to run a program, you are going to have to harp, hey, everybody here volunteers, and we don't have enough volunteers in the kids' class ministry. So you need to start volunteering. Now you're going to be a sheep herder for your organized, authentic movement. It should just happen. Now, having said that, I do understand organization is needed and it can be good. I'm talking about turning it into a program. When a fruit of the Spirit becomes programmatic, I think it has gone rotten. It needs to just happen. I was overhearing a conversation. That means I was eavesdropping where I had no business. Was listening to a conversation. Libby, one of our Fortis fellows, She had just finished up a women's retreat that we did at Alpharetta Bible Church. The ladies went up to the mountain. So a couple dozen women went up to talk about discipleship and the necessity of having a discipleship relation on both ends. You should have somebody discipling you, and you should be discipling somebody who's less mature, less old in the faith than you are. And that's what the weekend was about. Yeah, I know. It wasn't about your authentic feelings. It was about how to disciple one another. And I heard Libby say, she was sharing the deets with Mrs. Friel, that at the end of the conference, they said, just so you know, we're not going to turn discipleship into a program at Alpharetta Bible Church. We're just going to do it. Just we do it because that's what Christians do. We just see the need and we fill it. We hear the command and we obey it. And in order to, we should be discipling one another. And it should just happen. Now, I get it. You want to get it organized, make sure that somebody is assigned to. I get that totally. So I'm not poo-pooing all programs, but I am poo-pooing the ones that become programmatic. Church should be organic, especially in its authenticity. That's kind of ironic. All right, everybody. You're all going to act authentic. Wait a second. I don't think you can act authentic. I think you are authentic or you isn't. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. It was a text. Todd, I'm a guy on staff at a college Bible study with my wife on campus. Every year I'm asked if I want to preach, and I've always said no each time. I don't believe I have the gift of preaching, so I don't think it's necessary. I did preach about 8 years ago, but I haven't since, and I'm wondering if I should reconsider this.
Preach where?
It's a college Bible college.
Okay. Could you preach? Well, sure. But I think you're on the right path of asking the question, is that something you're gifted at? You don't want to be engaging in something that you just aren't very good at. And I don't think that's just pulpit ministry. I think that's any sort of ministry in the church. And by the way, this should be slightly liberating perhaps for you if you're feeling pressure to be a part of a ministry / program that you just don't dig. Look, sometimes you just do stuff because it has to get done. But I don't think that you have to force yourself to be engaged in a particular ministry. If that isn't your gifting, figure out your gifting and then go for that and really excel in that. Furthermore, you'll enjoy it more. Again, you'll have to do some things in church. You'd rather not, but we just have to get them done. But seek out the ministry where you can really excel and bless people because you're gifted at it. And it's something that the Lord has allowed you to excel at, as opposed to smashing yourself in. And when I think ultimately of preaching, that's not your gifting, and perhaps you're not qualified, I would actually say absolutely do not. There is a massive responsibility in preaching. This is why pastors, not in whole but in part, are going to be judged more strictly. You are proclaiming the word of God. You're standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord. Because preaching, it should contain elements of teaching. It should have exhortation. It should be a calling up and a calling out. Those are serious responsibilities. And if you're not qualified to do that, or if you don't have the gifting to do that, run from that responsibility and say, I'm sorry. There is no way that I am going to get up when I am not qualified for that task. I will simply have to leave that to others. I think that's not only wise, I think that's safer. Jimmy, would you tell the guy to preach?
No, I would agree. If you're not gifted in that area and you realize you're not gifted in that area, then keep doing what you've been doing, which is not...
And teaching too, for that matter. Now, maybe you say, well, what about at home with the kids? You're charged to do that, so yeah. You got to do that. You teach your kids. Get better at it. Do they get bored? Do their faces end up in a plate of spaghetti because they're just... Get better at it. But you are charged to do that. You're not charged to do every ministry in the church. And standing up in front of a body of believers and proclaiming, thus saith the Lord, that is hoofda. That's right. Oofta.
You know, this guy recognizing that he's not gifted to preach, you know what that is. That's him being authentic.
Oh, you brought it around full circle. He's being... Okay, Jimmy, be transparent. Share something you've never shared. Be it. Do it.
Share something I've never...
Be transparent. We're going to be a transparent church.
Okay.
It's just our pendant. We see a need and then we turn it into this thing. And I get it. And it can be such a long sled that a church starts to just kind of organically do stuff. Somebody sees a need and they go, that's mine. I'll take care of that. That dear pastor, have programs as needed, but be careful that you are using programs for the vitality of the church. The programs should simply be used to organize the vitality. I think that's pretty good right there.
Yeah, that's
good. I'm not sure it's a tweet, but that's pretty good right there. Preach, 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 preach on the one another's, preach on the wondrous love of Jesus, and you will see your church needing fewer and fewer programmatic, authentic encouragements. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Well, join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at fortisplus.org or all major podcast platforms.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's faithfulness. Since God is truth, He has no desire to break His promises. Since He is omnipotent, nothing can cause Him to break promises. Since His promises are based on His eternal plan, God will always keep them. Scripture called God a rock, a fortress, and a bulwark, never failing because He is faithful.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You can thank Jimmy for this. This is Wretched Radio. Okay, it's a little bit dated, but I just found out, so it's fresh news to me in the entertainment world. The Swiftie is getting married.
She is.
To the football player?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be a 50-year sort of model marriage. There's little question about that.
It's funny. I told my wife when she texted me and told me, I said, man, when did you ever think you would read that a professional NFL football player would be the one signing the prenup?
Right. She's a gazillionaire.
Yeah, that's right.
And you were just sharing, because I didn't know about this. What is it, a week or two old? Whatever. Yeah. You were just telling me that women, grown women, are crying.
Oh yeah, they cry over her all the time for some reason.
Well, I cry when I hear her too, but I think it might not be for the same reason. What are they crying about? They wanted to marry her.
Just weird obsession. I don't understand.
She is wildly popular, and I don't get it either. Nevertheless, she is a monstrously big force. And guess what? In 50 years, nobody's going to remember her.
Nope.
Even Elvis has continued now 50 years in. I think hey, I think it might even, is it today? I think the new Elvis movie is coming out. Do you remember that Baz Luhrmann or something? He's the one who made that Elvis movie, the biography piece, a year or two ago. And apparently he found all kinds of footage that hasn't been released. And he's put it together. It's called Epic. E-P-I-C. Elvis Presley in Concert. Okay, so he's enduring 50 years later. Anybody still going to a Chubby Checkers reunion? Anybody? No. Gone. And Chubby Checkers was huge. And I don't mean that about his person. I mean, he was a big deal. Nobody remembers. Jason was just sharing this with me. Okay. Sorry for this setup. But apparently the governor of Georgia walked into a restaurant where Vince Gill was having breakfast. And the older governor put his hand on the head of Vince Gill and he said, son, really enjoy your work, but you need to know something. The number of people that are going to attend your funeral will be determined by the weather that day. Poof. Well, then, there's a sobering word. And ain't it the truth? Right now, as we speak, for all I know, Jody Watley could be in a nursing home. She was hot. Just, the biggest hit in the planet in 1980s. Where is she right now? Who remembers? And this isn't to diss Jody Watley. I hope she had more than one hit. It's not to diss any celebrity. The point is we don't remember them. There are sitcom stars from the 70s and 80s that are currently in nursing home, and the people that are cleaning their bedpan have no idea who they are, nor do they care. And you say, well, this certainly turned dark. No, this became reality. Solomon was onto this. Vanity, vanity. It's all vanity. It's a vapor. That's why we're to petition the Lord to teach us to number our days, that what we do here means nothing unless we're doing it for the Lord. What did Solomon say in, I think it's Ecclesiastes 2, maybe about verse 11? How can I enjoy a meal if I don't know the Lord? Nothing means anything without the Lord. You got the Lord, and then you scoot to the end of Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 say that here's the end. Here's the deal. Do everything for God. That's what brings meaning to life. Everything else, celebrity, financial gain, all gone. What lasts? What we do for the Lord. And so many young people, they want to pursue being a celebrity, to be an influencer. Means nothing. Go ahead. Name me one vice president from the 19th century. I'll wait here. Go ahead. Got one. How many presidents can you name from the 19th century? Because we don't care. We don't care. Do you know that Teddy Roosevelt, he was, oh, wow. was there a big legislative battle that he had? There was a super important piece of legislation. Do you want to know what it is? No, I can't tell you because nobody remembers. But it was a big deal. Big deal. Feels so important. It's not in the eternal scheme of things. What we do for the Lord is what matters. I think I'm going to be preaching on that in just a few moments. At the Cornerstone Conference, how do you love an unlovable world? That's the question that I will be seeking to answer. And I believe that the answer is we love the world by showing the same love that has been shown to us. That's what matters. Jesus is not building a century-bound kingdom. He's not building a terrestrial, earthly-bound kingdom. He's building an eternal spiritual kingdom. That's what he's about. Isn't that what he told the accusers? And Pontius Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world. I got plenty of people who could fight you and take you down. But my kingdom is not of this world. We need to be about our master's business. Doesn't mean we disengage and become monks and forget about everything as if it has no temporary value. It does, but it's a drop in the cosmic bucket when it comes to something that endures. Your life can be more fulfilling than Taylor Swift can ever imagine. Unless she gets saved, Taylor Swift is not as satisfied and fulfilled as we should be as Christians. Why? No, we're not selling out stadiums. 60,000 people aren't coming to see us prance around in very inappropriate clothing, I might add. But the Lord's watching and the Lord's keeping tabs. And what we do for him lasts. That should change everything. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Joseph. Todd, I love video games. And I've been playing video games for most of my life. I'm 26. And I don't want to be doing this in my mid-30s and 40s.
Why not?
What can I reply?
No, hold on a second. Why not? If it's okay in your 20s, what's wrong with doing it in your 30s and your 50s and your 60s and your 70s? I'll answer that question when Jimmy finishes.
He says, what can I replace video games with that honors God? Do you have any advice?
Oh, I think I might. But permit me, if you don't mind, to move this from being a personal response to being a general call to all young men who are immersed in video world, because this dude is at least recognizing, hey, maybe I'm getting to the age where I need to put childish things behind and do stuff. And I would affirm that. In fact, but I would go a step further. I don't think you should wait till you're 35 to realize that seems a little untoward. Seems a little inappropriate. I would suggest to you 26, your past game playing years. I would even go so far to suggest as at 16, should be done with it. We need to remember that God gives us discretionary time. We can use it for amusements. So I don't want to say that all video games for all time are absolutely sinful. But there is a trend right now where young men are frittering away. I said frittering away their youthful years where they're strong. And they can be contributing and learning so much. They're wasting their years sitting on a couch with a joystick. So let me talk to those guys, not the fellow who wrote in. It's time to play the man. Games are childish things. They have virtually no value. If you put down that joystick and you ran 3 miles and then came back to your house, that would be time better spent than mindlessly playing these games where your brain is getting chemically altered because of the electronics and the concentration and the whatever it is that you're doing in these games, which most likely lowers the image of human beings. You will get more benefit from physical exercise. How do I know? Because Paul didn't say physical exercise has no value. He said it has a little value. What has no value? For my money, playing a video game. Your thumbs, I guess, would be in good shape. Could you argue, well, my eye-hand coordination? Well, okay, if you're going to become a marksmith or some, you're going to shoot bow and arrow at the Olympics and you,
Marksman.
Well, see.
I don't. Yeah,
okay, well, this is what you don't know.
Can you call him that anymore?
There. Yeah, that's right. You can't. Mark Bot, how's about that? Let's make it gender neutral. You probably don't need that eye-hand coordination. So go run around the block. It'll be better for you. Now you want to do something even better? Do spiritual things. Oh, the laundry list. Do spiritual things. How's about personally? Let's start there with the means of growth. Your Bible reading, your prayer life, fellowshipping, learning about your Savior, communing with your God. Those will profit you. How's about getting plugged into your local church, serving others, and doing important things, caring things, loving things, kind things. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to be like Star Trek when they put it into warp speed, past your peers, because they're just playing games. Play the man. Do big things. Do important things. Do things, as Solomon would say, last forever. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.